Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks. I founded Compassionate Cooks to empower people to make informed food choices, to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights, and to encourage people to live according to their own values of compassion. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, compassionatecooks.com. Hi, everybody. I first want to extend a huge thank you to all of our Compassionate Cooks members, everybody who subscribes to the podcast, everybody who listens to the podcast. Let me first acknowledge a few members whose membership actually supports the podcast itself, especially Taylor Waters. Taylor was patient and kind during the membership glitches we had at the end of last year, and I very much appreciate her support. She dedicated her membership to her father, about whom she wrote, "For my dad, who always amazes me in his ever-changing ways, especially his move towards a more compassionate life. I aim to aspire to his level of emotion and love for all animals, not just the furry ones that sleep at the foot of the bed." She went on to praise him for being just a great guy. She said, "He raised me on his own since I was six and went from an omni to a veggie when he was 50 years old. I hope I can adapt and change like him when I get older." Really awesome. Thank you, Taylor, and thank you, Taylor's dad. Thanks to member Patrick Hyatt, who was actually one of the people who alerted us to the glitches we were having at the end of last year. Thank you for your support, Patrick, and for taking the time to let us know that you were having trouble becoming a member. I'm so grateful to all of you who have had trouble. I mean, it's very uncharacteristic for you to have trouble becoming a member, but for those who did, I'd love that you write to me and you just say, "Help, I'm trying as hard as possible to become a member, and you need to let me do it," which is great that you're urging us to be able to give you the ability to become a member and support our work. I really appreciate that, because it's just too easy for people to just walk away if they see that something doesn't work. So I'm really grateful to Patrick for letting us know about the problems we had on the website. Also, today's podcast is dedicated to Mia Ann Paolucci, whose mother, Susan Paolucci, bought Mia Ann a gift membership, and actually did so manually before we even had gift memberships up and running. So thank you, Susan, for that. And Susan wrote, "I'm so proud of Mia Ann for being a 25-year vegetarian and more recently vegan. She loves your podcast and is a faithful listener." So this episode is for you, Mia Ann. And finally, thank you to Tammy Grigsby, who did have some trouble becoming a member using her phone rather than her computer. It's absolutely coincidental that everybody who's sponsoring today's podcast had trouble on the website, but it's kind of fun that you're all grouped together, and hopefully that will be the end of any glitches. And Tammy, I couldn't find an email from you per se, but I know that you were very persistent in trying to make sure that you could support us, and I really appreciate that. So thank you very much for your support and your patience as well. And again, thank you to everybody who does listen. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you don't already, you can just subscribe through iTunes. Obviously it's free, or elsewhere. And if you haven't already, I really appreciate the reviews that people have written on iTunes. It really encourages other people to listen. So if you could take a moment to do that, I'd appreciate it very much. And if you'd like to take that support a step further and become a member, join our club, you can go to CompassionateCooks.com and click on Join the Club. We've just updated all of the recipe packets for those of you who are renewing and became a member. Really, June 1st, 2009 was when we launched the full robust membership program that we have today. And those who are looking to renew, there are all new recipe packets, and we're continuing to increase the perks that we're giving members. So just stick with us, and we'll be able to thank you with lots of perks and fun things, and you can get a sneak preview of Color Me Vegan, because all of the recipe packets are from Color Me Vegan. All of the recipes that are contained within the recipe packets are from Color Me Vegan, which is the third cookbook coming out at the end of 2010. So let's move on to our topic today. Today's topic is weight loss, losing weight. I don't know what took me so long to do this episode. Obviously, there are just a number of topics I want to cover, and I don't have the time and the means to do so as often as I would like. But when I put out on, I think, Twitter and Facebook that I was doing this episode, a number of people wrote in about their enthusiasm for this topic. And I've heard from a number of vegans and people who just transitioned to becoming vegan over the years about this topic. And so I apologize that I haven't gotten to it sooner. but let's talk about it today. Now, you should know by now that I'm not one to make grand sweeping generalizations about things. I would never make promises that I didn't think could be delivered on 100%, especially when it comes to health, especially when it comes to being vegan. It's one of the reasons I'm not a fan of people who declare that if you go vegan, you'll lose weight. I just don't think it's accurate or fair to make such a sweeping statement like that. For one thing, I don't think it's a good enough reason to go vegan. I think potential weight loss and all the health benefits associated with it are a byproduct of living a conscious, compassionate life. And second, I think the worst thing we can do is create expectations in someone who thinks that their weight will drop immediately when they become vegan. And if it doesn't, they feel like a failure. And there's the risk that they might think the vegan diet, quote unquote, isn't what it's cracked up to be, and they would give up on it. And I don't think that's very good. Now, a couple things. Overall, though there are exceptions, studies do indicate that people who eat a plant-based diet have a lower percentage of body fat and are less likely to be overweight or obese than people who eat animals. That's true. That's what the research really does indicate. And some people do lose weight upon becoming vegan. Some people lose weight just thinking about becoming vegan, and that's great. If they need to lose weight and they want to lose weight and they do effortlessly, I'm thrilled. That's wonderful for them. That does happen, but it's not the case for everyone. Regarding weight loss and veganism, I think it's far more appropriate and far more accurate not to say if you go vegan, you will lose weight, but rather to say people who switch from an animal-based diet to a plant-based diet tend to lose weight because plants are much less calorie dense than animal flesh and secretions. The main reason for this is fat. Remember the basics behind macronutrients and calories, right? There are 4 calories in 1 gram of protein. There are 4 calories in 1 gram of carbohydrates. There are 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. So there's more calories in fat than there are in protein or carbohydrates. Most non-vegetarians' fat consumption comes from animal products, comes from meat, comes from dairy, comes from cheese, comes from eggs. And though there is indeed fat in plant foods, they contain much less fat than that which is in animal products. So that you very naturally, when you switch to a plant-based diet, you very naturally start to consume fewer calories because there are fewer calories in plant foods, especially the lower fat plant foods. And fewer calories leads to weight loss. Now, let me rephrase that to be even more accurate. When you burn more calories than you consume, you experience weight loss. Or to flip it around, when you take in fewer calories than you expend, you experience weight loss. If you want to lose weight, you need to do one of two things: take in fewer calories or burn more calories than you take in. That's it. Now you can do both. You can do both depending on how quickly you want to lose weight. But if weight loss is your goal, it really is a numbers game. It's a simple numbers game. Now, I said simple, I didn't say easy. And I know a lot of people are chronic dieters and have struggled with weight, you know, excess weight their entire lives. And so I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's simple. And I hope by the end of this episode and part two, so this is just part one of this topic, you'll understand what it really takes so that you don't feel like you have to continually diet and you don't have to feel bad about yourself and all of that, you know, that crazy cycle that most people who diet go through. Weight loss is about decreasing energy intake. Remember, calories are just units of energy. That's all it is. So weight loss is about decreasing energy intake and increasing calorie output. So here's the deal. I know you've heard this before. I just want to have it all here nice and simple for you. Let's just break it down. 3,500 calories represents 1 pound of body fat, right? So let's take a look at what this looks like in terms of a goal you might set. Let's make it nice and easy, nice and round. Let's say your goal is to lose 10 pounds in 10 weeks. That's 70 days, okay? 10 pounds in 10 weeks. In order to do that, you must burn 35,000 more calories than you consume during that period. I got that number by multiplying 3,500 by 10. Okay. So 3,500 calories represents 1 pound of body fat. Okay. So if you want to lose 10 pounds, you want to multiply 3,500 by 10. Okay, so then you get 35,000 calories. Does that make sense? So to lose 35,000 calories, essentially, let's just put it that way, which is 10 pounds, the equivalent of 10 pounds, you want to burn 35,000 more calories than you consume during that period. So if we broke that down, if we broke it down over that 70 days, we would divide 70 days into that 35,000. So we get our number, which is 500. So what this means is, it amounts to an average daily deficit of 500 calories a day, okay, over that 70 days, over that 10-week period, that needs to be your goal. So you want to have a daily deficit of 500 calories a day. Now, you can do that either by eating 500 fewer calories a day, then you've got your daily deficit, or you can burn 500 additional calories a day, and you've got your 500 calorie deficit. You can do both, right? You can split it up. You can split it up and maybe do 250 fewer calories that you're taking in and 250 additional calories that you're burning. Or you could speed up the weight loss if you make your daily deficit 1,000 calories. That means you would eat 500 fewer and burn 500 additional. Now, if you do that, and your daily deficit is 1,000 calories, what does that mean? Well, that means you're speeding up your weight loss and the 10 pounds will be dropped in 5 weeks instead of 10. It literally is, quite literally, it's mathematical. That's all it is. So once you have that at your fingertips, then you can figure out how much weight you want to lose in what time period and how many fewer calories you need to take in during that day or how many more calories you need to burn. Now, today we're going to talk about calorie burn, calorie expenditure. In part two, we'll talk about calorie reduction. Okay. In terms of intentional calorie burn, there are about a gazillion options of how we can burn calories. Now, I say intentional calorie burn because I want to differentiate that from the calories we just burn by being alive, by breathing and just being alive. Intentional calorie burn means some kind of intentional, cardiovascular exercise, something that gets your heart moving so that you're burning calories a lot faster. And I know there are some people out there who are going, I don't want to exercise. I don't like exercising. I hate exercising. Well, too bad. Listen to the rest of the episode and maybe you'll be motivated. I personally think that the best exercise is that which gets you the most motivated. There's got to be something out there. I know my neighbor across the street, we were talking about this, and she hates exercising. I can't identify because I just can't stand sitting still and I want to get out and move and I want to be outside. But for her, what really works is it having to be goal derived. So if she's on a team, if she's playing tennis or if she's on a soccer team, now she's not on any of these things because she's just hasn't motivated herself yet. But for her, that works. So there's so many different options out there. Whatever makes you excited and whatever you know makes you get out there is the answer. I'm not a gym person personally. I never have been. I mean, there were times that I went to the gym, but I just never really did it for me. But if that works for you, if going to a gym works for you because you've got a lot of variety in terms of classes, in terms of equipment, then go for it. So let's talk about some of these cardiovascular exercises you can do and then give you an idea of how many calories you burn in a session, in a workout session, so that you can figure out how much you need to do of what activity you want to do to burn that additional 500 calories or 250 or whatever, but you'll get an idea. So let's look at a couple options. Let's start with running. Now, on average, men burn about 124 calories and women burn about 105 calories in a 1 mile run. Now, this is just average, but give or take a few calories, it's pretty accurate. I've been running on and off for years, but recently became addicted to it. For years, honestly, I did it for years and I hated it. It was so boring. It was so boring to me and I really had to force myself to get out there and do it. But I discovered what the problem was. One, I wasn't running with an iPod. I was running with David and we didn't put our iPods on since we were running together. It just felt weird to kind of have earbuds in when you're with someone. But neither of us wanted to talk either when we were running. So we would be running next to each other and talking very little. And it was just boring. It was just incredibly boring. The other problem is that we were running on a track. It's within walking distance to our house. So that made it really convenient. And it's a dirt track, and that's obviously great to run on. But it became super monotonous. Five times around the track, it's a small track, was 1 mile. So we had to go five times around for 1 mile. So if I wanted to do a 5 mile run, which is ridiculous, then you're just, you know, I got dizzy after a while and I didn't want to run. So unfortunately, David injured his back, which made running impossible for him. But what happened was that I started running without him. And so I created my own routine with my iPod and my running playlist that I have now. I've got a running route in my neighborhood that I created, which is much more interesting than the circles I was running in on the track. And now I'm addicted to it. I run almost every day. And like I said, I don't go to a gym, but of course a treadmill at the gym is a great alternative for you folks who like going to the gym or who don't want to run around your neighborhood or whatever. If the weather is inclement or the days are short, obviously doing a treadmill is another option. So if you burn a little more than 100 calories in a mile, you can see how you burn 500 calories in a 5 mile run, essentially. Now that kind of math will help you set your goals and stick to them. You can certainly build up to that, but I think it's really helpful to understand how many calories you burn when you do something. You learn also that sitting on your butt burns very few calories. You have to move to expend these calories. And it's really interesting because when I would tell, you know, people like how many calories I expended at a run, people have no idea what is a lot or a little, but you have to work, you know, you have to work for this calorie burn sitting on your butt. So if you burn 100 calories in, let's say 10 minutes when you're running, you burn about 100 calories sitting on your butt watching TV over the course of an hour. So that gives you an idea of how slow the calorie burn is when you're just sitting around versus when you're getting up there and moving. And when you're running, you can speed up the calorie burn by speeding up your pace. You can run for a longer period of time. You can run for, you know, you can sprint for a bit and then slow down your run. You can run up hills, you know, and then continue to jog after you get to the top. The whole point is burning calories. I burn a lot of extra calories in my neighborhood because I live in a very hilly neighborhood. I'm lucky if I can go a half mile without a hill, which is annoying, but it's fine. It's good. And it adds more calorie burn. So that's running. That's just one option. Now, when I'm not running, I'm hiking. And I do tend to turn that into a trail run sometimes, but it depends on who I'm with or where I go, you know, what the hills are like when I'm hiking. I often take my neighbor's dogs with me on hikes, but they're getting older, so I don't run the whole time with them. And I'm lucky enough to live about 5 or 10 minutes from some of my favorite trails. And for me, nothing beats being in nature, and it's free, obviously. And if you're lucky enough to be able to do that, you know, even if it's on the weekends, you can vary all of this too. You don't have to do just one thing. So if you are interested in hiking, in terms of calorie burn, a 140-pound person hiking for an hour for 60 minutes burns about 400 calories, give or take a few. Now, when you're hiking, you're essentially walking. But again, if you choose a trail with hills, you're adding some extra calories, or you're rather expending some extra calories. And if you run a little bit, or at least you walk briskly, you're burning more as well. David and I are not the best companions when it comes to walking or hiking. So choose a good companion if you do go hiking, and if you don't take dogs. I actually really like hiking with the dogs because I love taking them out. But frankly, I feel safer with the dogs, and I don't usually hike, especially in the evening, too much on my own. So I'm usually with the pooches, or on the weekends I go with David, but we have to create our expectations before we go. He likes to stroll, and even though he's 6'3" and his legs could take him, you know, a lot farther, a lot faster, he's a very slow walker, and I'm not very good at being slow. So we usually have to establish whether we're going out for exercise or just a relaxation, you know, like a little stroll when we go out. So the quicker you walk, the more calories you burn. So find a good partner where you have the same expectation about how quickly you want to walk, or just do it yourself. So about 400 calories for an hour when you're hiking. And then again, you know, when you go to the hiking trails, park at the far end of the parking lot. There is nothing sillier than trying to find the best parking spot when you go to the gym or when you go to the hiking trail. Or better yet, if you can walk or bike to the trail, that's even better, because then you're getting some more calories. I keep saying you're getting more calories. You're expending more calories. Now, walking is another exercise. It's a very low impact exercise. It can be done anywhere. It's a great form of exercise. Now, it takes more time to burn more calories when you're walking versus doing something more intense. And so on average, men burn about 85 calories for a 1 mile walk. women about 75 calories for a 1 mile walk. A 160 pound person walking briskly could burn about 275 calories in an hour. And if you increase your pace to 5 miles an hour, 5 mile an hour jog, you can burn almost twice that amount in the same time period. So you get it. You know, the quicker you walk, the faster you go, the more calories you're going to burn. And walking is great, especially if you have knee problems or you're just starting out. One of the best ways to motivate you also might be a dog. According to studies, people who have dogs get more exercise than the average gym member. And if you don't have a dog, do what I do. Just grab your neighbor's dog from across the street. They come with me, like I said, on every hike. And another neighbor of mine wants me to walk her dog now. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but there are plenty of people, I'm sure, who live around you who'd be happy to have their dogs walked or brought on a hike with you. So try that or take your own dog out. Cycling is another way to take in the outdoors, and it's an option in your fitness club, obviously. And if your gym offers spinning classes, that's another really effective workout in a very short period of time. So you can try that as well. Again, it's just because you're just going a lot faster. For years, I rode my bike as a mode of transportation, and obviously it also burned calories. But I got doored riding my bike, ironically, back from the gym several years ago. I guess it was about 8 or 9 years ago now. I was riding up a main street, a very main busy street in Oakland, and stupidly I was in the bike lane, which you should never be in the bike lane if you're riding on a busy street. And I blinked for what must have been 1 second, and a numbskull who was parked on the side of the road in a truck quickly opened his driver's side door. And before I knew what hit me, I was tumbling into traffic, quite literally. A woman almost hit me with her car, and she stopped short to make sure I was okay. The guy who hit me didn't even blink. He didn't even care. He didn't even know. I mean, he knew what he did, but he walked right into his place of business. It turned out he was with the plumbing and heating company he had just parked at. He'd parked right in front of the plumbing and heating place. And so he was probably just afraid of liability, but that was the last thing on my mind. So he walks in, the woman, luckily, who almost hit me, took care of me. And I was totally out of it. I was completely out of it. I had a helmet on, but I was totally loopy. And at the time we were a one car family. So our car was in the shop at the time. And like I said, I was riding my bike to and from the gym, and David happened to be home that day, but he had to come down with his bike because we didn't have a car. And I asked the ambulance to wait so we could wait for David and he could come with us to the hospital. And I told him we'd be waiting for him, but he must have, obviously he did misunderstand me. I don't know if it was me who wasn't clear, probably, since I was loopy, but David misunderstood. And so we waited for, I don't know, what seemed like forever. We waited for David to come. And finally, I was in so much pain. I was like, can we just go to the hospital now? Because he's not coming. And we got there to the hospital and there was David waiting for us. But the funny part is that because I was so out of it, I got rolled into the emergency room and they asked for my insurance card. And it was then that I realized I had switched insurance companies and I wasn't with Kaiser anymore. And Kaiser is very specific. You have to be a Kaiser member to go to a Kaiser hospital. So they had to put me back in the ambulance and take me to another hospital so that I could get treated. And I did. And I had a bunch of scrapes and bruises and a broken elbow, which incidentally, the doctor told me healed quicker than anyone he had ever seen before. And of course, I was vegan. And I thought that was very interesting. But the point of the story is that I stopped riding my bike in the city after that. And I now only ride where there are no cars. Like if I'm on an island and there are no cars at all, I just got really freaked out about riding in traffic again. And I know many of you, you know, are cyclists and I think it's great. I'm just too much of a wimp now, but there are major cities like Minneapolis and Portland that are very bike friendly. And if you live there, that's great. Maybe when Oakland catches up with you, I'll be back on my bike again. So bike riding obviously is a mode of transportation, getting out there on the weekends, riding down to the train station or to your bus or to your fitness club or to your running track or whatever, just trying to use your bike as much as possible is really great. So a 160 pound person cycling at a very leisurely 10 miles an hour will burn about 300 calories in an hour. A 200 pound person might burn about 365. So you definitely burn more calories on a mobile bicycle than when you're on a stationary bike. But a stationary bike is better than nothing. And again, you have to just cycle for a much longer period of time to get more calorie burn. But You can do that, and you can increase your pace, and you can increase the distance, and you can increase the hills as well. So biking is definitely an option. Swimming is an option. Obviously, water exercise is really good for people who can't tolerate a lot of impact. And so, you know, there's water jogging and there's water aerobics, and they're easier on the joints and they're easier on the back than running or jumping rope, on land. And so 1 hour of swimming, if you're swimming like consistent laps for an hour, which is a lot, a 160-pound person could burn 500 calories, but 1 hour is a lot of consistent laps. The main thing to keep in mind when you're looking for the highest calorie burn is that weight-bearing activities, those that work against gravity, like walking, like running, like cross-country skiing or dancing or skating or stair climbing, all of those use proportionally more calories at a given level of effort than swimming or cycling or water aerobics. So if you want more calorie burn, opt for the former types of exercise. But if you do the latter, it's fine. It's just that you might have to do it for a longer period of time. And also, something like swimming does put less stress on the joints, so you can do it comfortably and safely for a longer period of time. So that's fine. And so there are, you know, a number of ways in addition to the ones I named. You can join a gym, you can jump rope, you can dance, you can join a sports team. You know, there are a lot of intramural sports teams you can play on the weekends. You can play tennis, you can bowl, you can skate, rollerblade, ski, golf, take an aerobics class, buy a workout video. All of them vary in terms of calories burned, but the point is to move. The Mayo Clinic has a really good chart on a variety of cardiovascular exercises and the calories you burn during doing each one. I've looked around at a number of different types of charts, and I found this one to be the best, and some of the ones that I quoted here above were from that site. Now, I've added it to the Compassionate Cooks website under resources, cooking and nutrition info. The link is called Weight Loss Calories Burned in 1 Hour, but if you want to go to mayoclinic.com, you can find it there too. It's, you know, just type in weight loss calories burned in 1 hour, even on the Mayo Clinic website, or just go to CompassionateCooks.com under resources. So this chart averages calorie burn for a 160-pound person, a 200-pound person, and a 240-pound person. So if you're higher than that or lower than that, then you can just adjust it to get, you know, kind of an average number of calories burned. Obviously, it'll be a little lower if you're, you know, 150 pounds or less, or if you're more than 240 pounds, it's going to be higher. But it's just a helpful general guide, I think. For added motivation, you know, if it really helps you, I really recommend training for a competition, whether it's a 5K run or a half marathon or a marathon or a bike race or a triathlon. And you can raise money for your favorite nonprofit organization at the same time. One way to do that is to raise money through vegan outreach. They've been doing this consistently for a while now. You can go to teamvegan.biz and you can learn how you can train and raise money for vegan outreach. It's a great way to do both. It's a great way to get in shape. It's a great way to meet other vegans, other people, other like-minded people. And donations are often matched, so your fundraising is doubled. It's really fantastic. So check out teamvegan.biz. But even if you don't do it through them, setting goals for something like a race really proves very helpful for people because you're working toward a goal and you tend to push yourself more. If you don't want to do a formal race and you have self-discipline, then at least create goals for yourself that involve increasing your pace and increasing your distance and increasing the number of times you exercise. Creating goals really makes a difference for most people. Now, a lot of people ask about splitting up your cardio exercise throughout the day, and that's fine. It's certainly better than nothing, but one of the benefits of a sustained cardiovascular workout is something called an afterburn, and it just refers to your elevated metabolism after a workout. Now, afterburn can last anywhere from 15 minutes to 24 hours, depending on the intensity and the duration of your workout, but it does increase the number of calories you burn. However, since you're trying to burn additional calories, I really do think in addition to an intentional cardio routine, not instead of, but in addition to an intentional cardio routine, there are some modifications you can make in your daily habits that get you moving more, that help you burn calories. I want to emphasize that if weight loss is your goal and you want to experience that weight loss by burning calories, these suggestions are not meant to replace a cardio routine. It's not enough to just say, take the stairs instead of the elevator and think that you've done so much more that you're going to experience any significant weight loss. They're meant to provide ideas for burning extra calories throughout your normal day. Okay, so taking the stairs instead of the elevator is one way. And that includes going down and up. So if you have two flights of stairs at work, you have to climb them. If you do it slower, fine. But I can't, when I look at elevators, I want to cringe. If I'm going up to the 32nd floor or something, I'll take an elevator. But, you know, they're so lazy. It's just so lazy. We just stand there. We just stand there and we don't move. Or on one of those escalators or on one of those, those little walking things at airports. What's the name of those things? You know, the little walking thing at airports. And just watching people stand there, it's amazing to me. It's very lazy. It's just lazy. So walking as much as we can, like I said, parking farther away from the door at a store that you're going to. At lunchtime, instead of sitting in a restaurant with a friend, maybe go to a park with a friend and eat your sandwich for about 10 minutes and then get up and walk. Walk to the restaurant or walk around a lake or walk around a track or walk around a park. But instead of just sitting in a restaurant, you're sitting all day at your desk and then you go to a restaurant, you sit more, find ways to walk during lunch while still socializing and eating. When you walk, instead of strolling, this is just a suggestion. This is a suggestion from my husband. Instead of just strolling, pick up the pace. Strolling is perfectly appropriate for times. I know it's true. I'm learning to stroll, but when you're walking, you know, really pick up the pace so you can get some calorie burn. Get up from your desk several times a day to stretch or to take a brief walk. If you work from home, get up from your desk and do, you know, 5 minutes of some kind of cardiovascular jumping rope or running in place or jumping jacks. You don't even need a jump rope to jump rope. You don't need a rope to jump rope. You know, you can just kind of mimic the motion. But every 45 minutes, every 30 minutes, get up and do about 5 minutes of these things. You're just going to keep adding additional calorie expenditure every time you do something like this. Walk to work if you can. Walk to the bus stop if you can. Like I said before, bicycle to the bus stop or to work if you can. Especially if your destination is within a mile. As soon as I'm finished recording this, I'm going to be walking down to my post office because I'm going to check my mail, and I'm going to be walking to the bookstore that's not far from there, and I'm going to go to the store and get a couple things for dinner tonight. And so, if you can walk, if something's within a reasonable distance for you to still run your errands and get done what you need to get done, walk. Just walk. When you send your kids out to play, run around with them. You know, run around with them for about 10 minutes. Or with your dog. You know, instead of just throwing the ball to your dog, chase the ball with your dog. I did this with my neighbor's dog. A different neighbor was outside in the backyard playing with him because he was alone all day. And I just remember, you know, I would throw the ball to him. He would run for it. I would run after him and then throw the ball in the other direction, then run back over to him. So instead of just you sitting there while he gets exercise, you can get exercise too. Walk your dog twice a day instead of once a day. Do jumping jacks or jump rope or running in place during TV commercials. Jumping rope requires very little space. You do not have to even have a rope. Like I said, you can mimic the motion, but it's very effective in terms of calorie burn. In just 10 minutes, a 160-pound person can burn 120 calories, and it's really true. And it may seem challenging to keep up that pace for a full 10 minutes or 30 minutes, but it's a great way to expend just 120 calories in 10 minutes if you really kept that up for 10 minutes consistently. You know, after dinner, go on a walk with your partner, or a friend, or your family member. Ask neighbors to join you. You know, just find ways to just get up off your butt. We are creatures who are built to move. We are not designed to lead the sedentary lives that we currently live. We spend way more time sitting than we do moving. We're a generation of couch potatoes. We're watching television all the time. We're playing video games or just sitting immobile at our computers. We need to move. We need to give our bones a reason to live. And that includes strength training. You know, many people who are exercising solely to lose weight may not spend much time or any time on strength training exercises under the belief that only cardiovascular exercises help them burn calories and thus lose weight. And though, you know, cardiovascular really is the best way to burn calories, strength training does play a role in burning calories. It improves muscle mass, which helps the body burn calories more efficiently. Strength training also helps the body burn more calories during other types of exercises. And since muscle holds less water and takes up less room than the equivalent weight of fat, by shedding fat and gaining muscle, you actually lose inches. That's why you lose inches. And you also lose, you know, clothing sizes without losing actual pounds. So measuring inches lost and clothing sizes is another measuring stick besides just looking at the pounds you lose. And one way to do that is through strength training. But keep in mind that the time spent doing resistance exercises burns fewer calories than if the same amount of time were spent on aerobic activity. So in terms of the most effective use of your time in terms of calorie burn, you're going to get that with cardio. But if you want both, if you want cardio burn and some toned muscles, then just make both part of your routine. You know, even if you do the strength training a couple times a week, but it's really important. It's important for it being strength training. It's important also for stressing your bones so that you create more bone density and you reduce the risk of osteoporosis. So, you know, strength training isn't just for weight loss. There are other real benefits to strength training. It helps you build muscle to protect your joints from injury. It helps you maintain flexibility and balance. You know, strength training can really boost your self-confidence too, because a lot of our self-confidence, truthfully, comes not only from our body image in our minds, but really what we see in the mirror. So if we see nice toned arms, it really does improve how we feel about ourselves. And, you know, that's a good thing. It improves the body image and it improves the way we feel about ourselves. It can also reduce the symptoms of many chronic conditions, especially things like arthritis or back pain and osteoporosis. So you can do many strength training exercises with little or no equipment just by using your own body weight. I mean, that's what push-ups and pull-ups and, you know, abdominal crunches and leg squats and lunges and yoga and Pilates are all about. They're all about using your own body weight to strengthen your bones. But you can also get things like resistance tubing or resistance bands. You can find those online or in fitness stores. You can obviously use free weights, you know, some, you know, light dumbbells. You can start with 2 pounds, move up to 5 pounds, depending on, or, you know, if you're stronger, then you can go higher than that. And you can also, especially if you're vacationing or you're at a friend's house and you don't bring your free weights, you can use like plastic bottles filled with water or canned beans if you're just starting off. So there's always ways to lift and get those bones moving. And then obviously weight machines at your fitness center, they offer those, you know, resistance machines. But just be careful. Make sure you stretch. Make sure you stretch before your cardio or your strength training, and especially afterwards, once your muscles and everything is nice and warm, that's a really good time to stretch everything. So just do it safely. Before I close, and remember, this is just part one, I want to bring you back to something I said in the beginning of this episode. What I said was, when you burn more calories than you consume, you experience weight loss. Now, obviously, burn more calories means moving, exercising, cardiovascular exercise. So it would seem logical, right, to say, if I exercise, I will lose weight. But it's not necessarily so. And I want to explain what that means. I don't want to confuse you here. I want to be very clear about the role exercise plays in losing weight so that you really understand what it takes to lose weight. And I said this before. Losing weight is about having a calorie deficit. Okay. So several recent articles, including one in the New York Times, is called Exercise Equals Weight Loss, Except When It Doesn't. And another article is called Why Doesn't Exercise Lead to Weight Loss? These articles cite studies that basically conclude, now listen, that it's not the exercise that leads to weight loss. It's calorie expenditure. And I can't emphasize this enough. It's the calorie deficit I keep talking about. It's the calorie expenditure. You need to burn more calories than you take in, or you need to take in fewer calories. That's it. So why doesn't exercise necessarily lead to weight loss? Well, one of the reasons, it's very interesting, is that what happens is when people start to exercise, they tend to, consciously or otherwise, make up for the calories they burned by eating more that day. And you've heard it. You've probably said it. You know, I can eat that. I worked out today. I deserve to eat that. I already went to the gym. No worries. I can have that extra piece of cake. You know, I already worked out today. So people tend to treat exercise as a license to eat what they want. So let's say they expend 400 extra calories in their morning routine. They may eat more at lunch or dinner, ironically, to reward themselves for their workout. So it would make more sense to flip it around and be aware of how many calories you eat and then make the goal the expenditure of those calories and then ending each day with that calorie deficit, right? So it's not just a matter of, oh, I'll exercise and I'll burn 500 calories a day. Well, it's not just automatic. You need to make sure you're burning 500 calories more than you're taking in. If you burn the same amount that you take in, you sustain your weight. If you take in more calories than you burn, you gain weight. So again, you can kind of create what your goal is. Most experts recommend that no more than 2 pounds a week is a safe way to do it. Sustainably, safely, no more than 2 pounds a week. So any promises you see about from any stupid diet programs that tell you 5 pounds a day or 2 pounds a day, that's not sustainable. Maybe in the very beginning, if you have a lot of weight to lose, you might see a rapid weight loss. But in terms of doing it right and in terms of doing it permanently, 2 pounds a week is a really good goal. And that's very easy if you go back, very simple, if you go back to the equation I gave you before. If your goal is to lose 10 pounds in 10 weeks and you burn that average daily deficit of 500 calories, or if you have an average daily deficit of 500 calories, that's 1 pound a week, okay, right? Do you understand how that works? So 500 calories times 7 days in a week. So 500 calories a day times 7 days is 3,500 calories, and that's 1 pound. So 1 pound a week. And you can do that faster. If you want 1,000 calories a day, then you would have to work harder and you would make your weight loss 2 pounds a week. And that you get that number, 2 pounds, by multiplying 1,000 times 7, which is 7,000, and 7,000 calories is 2 pounds. So that's 2 pounds a week. And then you can find a middle ground and do a pound and a half a week. So once you know these numbers, you can create your own calculations based on how much you weigh now, how much you want to lose, and how fast you want to lose it. So if we stuck with our 10 pounds in 10 week scenario, 500 calorie deficit a day, if you take in 1500 calories a day, okay, let's say you eat 1500 calories a day. In order to get your 500 calorie deficit, you need to burn 2000 calories a day. So you take in 1500, you burn 2,000, and you end up with 500 calorie deficit. Okay, now that 2,000 calories that you're burning includes sitting and walking and standing and cooking and brushing your teeth and sleeping. But to reach something like a 2,000 calorie burn a day or more, you simply need to have some kind of intentional cardio program or just making sure you're moving throughout the day. I mean, if you have a very active lifestyle, you could reach that, but you know, most people need some kind of intentional cardio program. And that's why I gave you all those numbers above. If you intentionally burn 500, the other 1500 is pretty much just burned by your normal daily routine. Do you see how that works? Your 1500 is just going about your day. And then you get this 500 from your intentional cardio workout. Now, I say daily because these numbers are easy to calculate that way. But if you tally your goal based on a weekly plan, then maybe you're working out 5 days a week instead of 7. You can do it any way you want to once you know the mathematics of it. But if you want my opinion, I think 50 or 60 minutes a day of intentional cardio is reasonable to consider when you think about how sedentary our lives are in general. And again, if you want to do that half hour walk in the morning and a half hour walk at night, that's fine. But I do think making an hour of moving a day is a pretty reasonable and pretty healthy goal for most of us. So now the question is, how do you know how sedentary your life is? How do you easily and accurately calculate how many calories you're burning a day? I'm giving you these numbers, but these are real estimates, and it really changes according to how much you weigh. So there are a few things you can do. You can estimate based on the numbers that I've given you, based on the, you know, the cardio intervals and using that link and seeing how many calories you would typically burn for your weight, you know, doing the kind of cardio that is recommended on that chart, you know, the million options that you have. Now, I know a lot of machines and gyms have readouts telling you how many calories you burned in your given exercise period, but they're not that accurate, especially if you're using a machine that doesn't ask you to enter your weight and other information. It's not accurate. So I usually recommend knocking 100 calories off of whatever that machine tells you and just assume you're burning 100 fewer calories than it tells you. And then you can figure out how many calories you burn in your daily activity. Again, using that chart, sitting, sleeping, working, cooking, walking, standing, all of it. And you can just find these calculators, you know, type in how many calories burn in a day, you know, and then most of them will have you enter your weight, and the good ones will have a comprehensive list. once you start calculating, I think you'll be really surprised. I think you'll be really surprised how sedentary we are when we're not even aware of it until you start tracking it. It's really interesting when you start tracking it. I thought the calculator at healthstatus.com was pretty accurate. It was pretty comprehensive. It had everything from, you know, like brushing your hair to brushing your teeth to sleeping. And you would just go to healthstatus.com and click on the calories burned calculator. But there are a number online. So check that out. So you're going to get the numbers you need, but they're going to be estimates. The other thing you can do if you're very serious is you can buy some kind of monitor that tracks your activity as long as you're wearing that monitor. Now, there are a number of different kinds out there. Some are more accurate than others. Some are less expensive than others. The best, in my opinion, the most heavily studied is an armband made by Body Media. And it became very popular because it's worn by contestants on The Biggest Loser. And it's sold as Go Wear Fit by Body Media, and it's sold as the Body Bug by 24 Hour Fitness. So it's the same thing, but they're just sold by two different people, two different companies. They're licensed by two different companies, and so they're called different things. So Go Wear Fit by Body Media and Body Bug by 24 Hour Fitness. So it's basically an armband. So it detects motion and skin temperature, the amount of heat that leaves the body, just some technical things, the electrical conductivity that changes when you sweat. And the information is then fed into a mathematical equation that's programmed into the device. And the whole point is to estimate your total daily calorie burn as long as you're wearing it. So you wear it all day or for however long you want to, and then you plug the device into your computer and you basically upload that information into your online account or however often you want to see the result. It's pretty cool. I have to tell you, it's pretty cool. I got it so that I could try it out and see how it worked and be able to tell you about it. And I have to say, I think it's pretty neat. So you can buy also what's called the display device in addition to the armband, which is basically a watch that gives you, you know, a real-time readout of the calories burned at any given moment. So you can either plug it in and see what the calories burned are, you know, by uploading it, or if you want to see it any given moment, you would just wear this watch or carry the watch with you. And then on that watch, which I really like, you can create trips. So when I go out for a run, I reset the trip so I can see exactly, you know, how long I'm running. That gives me 500 calories, that gives me 600 calories. And it's a much different way to work out, because we're also used to saying, oh, I'm going to work out for 60 minutes, or I'm going to run 5 miles, without even knowing how many calories we're really burning in that time period. This is a much different way to calculate, and a much more accurate way, because it's like I'm going out for a 500 calorie run, right? Or I'm going out for a 300 calorie walk. Much more effective in terms of translating that into weight loss than just I'm going to go out for a 30 minute walk. And then of course that display steps. It's kind of like a pedometer also. And then of course it's the time. You have the time. It's a watch. And so I think it's pretty cool. It costs about $200, but if you're really serious, it's a worthy investment for you, especially those who've struggled with weight loss and have spent a lot more money than that on gimmicks and diets and books and gym memberships. I think it's worth saving your pennies for a $200 investment that I think is something that will really motivate you and empower you. And the armband and the device are sold separately, but I honestly couldn't imagine having the armband without the display. I really like seeing, you know, in real time, the calories that I'm burning. So when I mentioned before about how you can do mini exercises throughout the day, you'll be motivated to do them when you look down at the display and you see that you've been burning, you know, 60 calories in an hour sitting at your computer, or 80 calories, depending on how much you weigh. And you could be like, okay, I'm going to go take a 50 calorie walk around the block because I've been sitting here and burning, you know, practically nothing just sitting at my computer. Seeing the number of calories you burn at any given moment is pretty motivating and pretty empowering. And it's not meant to be obsessive. I don't want to make it sound like you're constantly obsessing over it. I think it's empowering. I think being able to translate our movements and our energy expenditure into those numbers that we can use to calculate weight loss is really empowering. And this episode is about losing weight. This episode is not about sustaining weight if you have no problem, or going vegan and having this expectation. I'm talking about people who want to lose weight, who need to lose weight. I'm talking about a way to do it that's empowering and fun too. So like I said, the company claims a 90% accuracy based on studies they did, but I do think it's very accurate. Based on the research I did, I feel confident saying that this one is the best out there. I'm not being paid by Body Media to say this. I wish I was being paid by Body Media to say this. Then our listeners wouldn't have to sponsor us if Body Media were paying us to say this. But I'm sincere. You know, I only recommend products and companies and organizations that I feel really strongly about. Amazon sells the Go Wear Fit Lifestyle and Calorie Management System, and we've added it to my store. It's only $180 there, and shipping is free. 24 Hour Fitness sells it as the Body Bug, and you can find it at 24hourfitness.com. They're essentially the same device. Whichever one you buy, they come with several months of free access to an online account that you personalize, that you set up. And that's all of the information from the Body Bug gets calculated, you know, into this program. And that's where you see the numbers. And then that's also where you would type in calorie intake. And that's going to be for part two. We'll talk about that. But it's pretty cool. And the customer service is really amazing too. They help you get set up if you're confused or don't know how to set it up. They're pretty robust. So they're not supporting this podcast, but if you do decide to purchase it and you do it through our store, Compassion Cooks gets a little commission, which is really nice. But either way, just go to Amazon and just read the reviews. If you want the Body Bug specifically, get it through 24hourfitness.com, but just check out what people are saying about it. I think it's pretty cool. And once you're able to track your calorie expenditure, either by estimating the calorie expenditure by using online tools or using one of these devices, the next step is figuring out how many calories you need to take in or reduce in order to create your daily deficit. So I know people who have struggled with weight all their lives or for a long time, and they have felt bouts of helplessness or futility, or they've tried every diet. They've counted calories. They've counted fat grams. They've counted carbs ad nauseum. And then they go vegan and they don't see any change. I know that's frustrating for you, but if you really understand that it's all about calories in and calories out, you may begin to realize why some people effortlessly lose weight upon going vegan and some stay heavy. Now, I have to say, for those people who find that they lose weight and don't need to when going vegan, the opposite principles apply. If you're losing weight and you don't want to lose weight, then you need to take in more calories to increase your weight gain or burn fewer. I mean, obviously it's the same calculation, but really it's fun. It's really fun, I think, and empowering to implement this understanding in your daily life, because you realize you have so many calories you want to spend throughout the day. And then you begin to make healthful choices based on how you want to use those calories. I don't want to get ahead of myself, because that's the kind of thing I want to talk about in part two, calorie reduction. But with our first part of losing weight being calorie expenditure, in part two, we'll talk about taking in fewer calories. We'll talk about doing it joyfully, about doing it healthfully, safely, and veganly, and for the long haul, because that's really the point. So get moving. Even if weight loss isn't your goal, lack of physical activity is associated with several diseases, including cardiovascular disease, including high blood pressure, diabetes, osteoporosis, depression. It's a leading cause of obesity. So there's a real reason that we need to get out there and move. On the positive side, cardiovascular exercise has numerous psychological, physiological, emotional, even social benefits, especially when we use it as an opportunity to connect with friends. So I was saying before about getting coworkers or neighbors, friends, family members to walk with you, to move with you, to exercise with you. Doing it part of a team really increases the social aspects as well. You know, you release endorphins during exercise, and that eases depression. I always feel better after I go out for a run or a hike, so it reduces stress. Our immune systems are boosted as a result of exercises. It's a real benefit. And then, you get this glow, this kind of exercise glow that makes us look healthier. That boosts our self-esteem. It increases energy. It increases strength. There's so many good reasons to do it. So get moving. And remember, if we don't have time to be sick, we have to make time to be healthy. This is Colleen with Compassionate Cooks. Thanks for listening.